Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, August 15th. Happy Saturday! It's actually the last day in our reading guide for this summer. Tomorrow, there's a new leaflet that is available. It was in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. You can pick those up at the church office, or you can go online to mbbc.org/project119, and you can print them off there. Tomorrow we'll be in the sermon passage, and we'll continue on in the book of Psalms, and then we're going to start the book of John together, which I'm super excited about. But first, I must take this opportunity to review for a minute the book of Exodus. I'm leaning a little bit on the Bible Project video. Exodus chapter 1 through 18 is the foundational story of God rescuing the enslaved Israelites and offering them an escape through the Passover. Remember the Passover lamb, and they had to put the blood on their door and the firstborn, and all the houses where the blood of the lamb was not on the door was killed. After giving them this escape, they were delivered through the waters of the Red Sea, and the second part of Exodus is God's invitation to the people of Israel to enter into a covenant relationship with him. It's picking up on those promises that he made to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob about giving them a land and to make them a kingdom of priests. The terms of the covenant began with the Ten Commandments, which we've been reviewing these past couple of weeks. These commandments and then the further commandments that were given in the book of Exodus told us how to relate to God, or the people of Israel, how to relate to God and to others. This was shaping Israel into a nation. He wanted his presence to be with the people, to dwell in the midst of the people. And so that's why Exodus begins 7 chapters of detailed architectural blueprints about the tabernacle. There was the outer courtyard and the tent with the outer room, and then the inner room, which held the Ark of the Covenant, which was a beautiful chest that had Aaron's budding rod in it. It had a golden jar of manna and a copy of the Ten Commandments. All the pieces of the tabernacle echo back to the Garden of Eden. They were beautifully architecturally made, and they were to point us back to the place where God and humans live together in intimacy. The tabernacle is like a portable Eden, so to speak, in theory, but it didn't work out, at least in the book of Exodus. While Moses is away, remember, he's on the mountain, he's getting the copy of the Ten Commandments, and he's getting the blueprint for the tabernacle. The people of Israel get anxious, and they want a symbol of God, and so they ask Aaron to make an idol. He makes the golden calf, and they break commandments number 1, you shall have no other gods before me, and number 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol. And God is mad. And he wants to bring judgment on the people, and he wants to just move on from them. Moses intercedes, and God does bring judgment on the instigators, but he promises to renew his covenant with the greater people of Israel. He also reveals to Moses in this last portion of Exodus his character, that he is merciful and gracious, but he also has to deal with evil in his justice. He's committed to his promise even if his people are unfaithful. There are 5 more chapters detailing the tabernacle, and then in chapter 40, which we are reading today, some of it, the divine presence enters the tent, and everyone is so excited, and Moses tries to go to the tent and enter in, but he cannot. And that is how the book ends. It may be surprising to you, it's surprising to me, but Israel's sin had damaged the relationship, and they had become their own worst enemy. They couldn't be in the presence of God. There was this conflict between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of the people, and the question of how can a holy God and a sinful people live together? How can God tabernacle with sinners? And this is where it gets so exciting that we're about to read John, where in John chapter 1, the word for tabernacle is actually showing up again in verse 14. It says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling tabernacle among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So while the people of Israel could not physically be in the presence of God without sacrifices, Jesus comes, God in the flesh, he comes down and he tabernacles with the people. And it gets even more exciting at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. When the biblical story ends, it talks about God's dwelling is with man. And this is our hope. This is the promise that we're looking forward to, the day when we will be able to dwell forever in the presence of the Lord. Amen? All right, let's read the last few verses of Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels." And so they had this cloud that was a representative of God's presence, but they couldn't really be in the presence of God. Jesus is the fullest manifestation of God's presence with us. It helps us to see back to Eden when God and humans live together, and it points us forward to Revelation, that time when we will recognize, everyone will recognize, the holiness of the Lamb of God, and we will dwell with God as his people. Now let's turn over to the Psalms, to Psalm 35. This is a Psalm of David. He is wrongly accused. And if you've ever been wrongly accused, sometimes the Psalms can be such a wonderful reminder to us of God's faithfulness, even in the midst of that trial. So as I read today, I pray that the Lord would comfort you and remind you of his presence with you. "Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight me. Take up shield and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Since they hid their net for me without cause, and without cause dug a pit for me, may ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall in the pit to their ruin. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. We say to you, Lord, you are our salvation. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Exodus. We thank you for the Ten Commandments. We thank you for your presence, most fully revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when we are wrongly accused, we can find our shelter in you. And that while others are pursuing, we can say with confidence, you are our salvation. Who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those that are too strong for them. We ask, Lord, that you would rescue us from the evil one and his plots against us, that you would give us the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted in the readiness of the gospel of peace, the belt of truth, and the helmet of salvation. Thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ we are secure. We are secure in your arms. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.